indiscriminately, their blows falling upon old men and women, children and invalids alike. One by one, the houses emptied and the street filled with people in bundles. By 10 o'clock, all the condemned were outside. The police took a roll call, once, twice, 20 times. The heat was intense. Sweat streamed from faces and bodies. Children cried for water. Water? There was plenty close at hand in the houses, in the yards, but they were forbidden to break the ranks. Water, mummy! Water! The Jewish police from the ghetto were able to go and fill a few jugs secretly. Since my sisters and I were destined for the last convoy and we were still allowed to move about, we helped them as well as we could.
Things are happening quickly now. Eli is saying his daily prayers when suddenly the Gestapo officers announce that it's time for the Jews in the ghetto to get ready for deportation. The Jews leave their homes and give up almost everything they own, including expensive rugs, candlesticks, and even Bibles. Everyone must stand in line to be counted over and over again for hours in the blazing heat. People who don't obey are beaten with rifle butts and truncheons, which must be some kind of hard, heavy stick, like a police officer's nightstick. Even children and old people get beaten. Eli is praying when the police come, but when he hears them, he immediately tears himself from his prayers and runs to the window. Seems like lately, he's not praying with the same passion as before. I think the events that are happening in the world around him are starting to pull him away from the private, spiritual world where he used to spend so much time. These days, he is really busy helping the other villagers before he and his sisters leave with the last group, or convoy, of Jews. Let's continue reading after the space on page 14, where it says, "Then, at last, at 1 o'clock..."
Then, at last, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, came the signal to leave. There was joy. Yes, joy. Perhaps they thought that God could have devised no torment in hell worse than that of sitting there among the bundles in the middle of the road beneath a blazing sun, that anything would be preferable to that. They began their journey without a backward glance at the abandoned streets, the dead, empty houses, the gardens, the tombstones. On everyone's back was a pack. In everyone's eyes was suffering drowned in tears. Slowly, heavily, the procession made its way to the gate of the ghetto. And there was I on the pavement, unable to make a move. Here came the Rabbi, his back bent, his face shaved, his pack on his back. His mere presence among the deportees added a touch of unreality to the scene. It was like a page torn from some storybook, from some historical novel about the captivity of Babylon or the Spanish Inquisition. One by one, they passed in front of me, teachers, friends, others, all those I had been afraid of, all those